1390 KJAM Madison.
It's time for Coach's Corner on Dakota's Best AM 1390 KJAM and AmazingMadison.com. Here are your hosts, Paul and JJ.
It is 6 o'clock right on the dot on Dakota's Best AM 1390 KJAM. This is Coach's Corner live from the KJAM studios in downtown Madison. Another busy night outside the KJAM studios in downtown Madison. Certainly helps with the weather as well. Beautiful next couple of days that we've got coming up for you. We'll talk about that weather here coming in and out of our breaks as well here on Coach's Corner. I am your host, Paul Vold. We got another great show lined up for you this evening as well. We got some burning news coming our way here as we're going to speak with Old Hammer Mona Rutland, a boys basketball assistant coach Danny Frisbee Griffin, also the chairman for VFW baseball here in the state of South Dakota, while also hopefully to get word with Madison boys basketball coach Mike Rickey coming up here in just a little bit as well. We'll also take a look at the AFC and NFC championship games as well. I'm sure disappointing for a lot of Vikings fans, thought they were going to be contending in that one. Well, at the same time, I was pretty happy with my New England Patriots coming back to steal the win from Jacksonville, who played a fantastic game as well. I will be the first one to admit Jacksonville played one heck of a game against New England, but old Tom Terrific Tom Brady leads a fourth quarter comeback to get to his eighth Super Bowl as well. As also some big news coming in within the last half hour as well. The second best day in Major League Baseball during the year as well. Besides opening day, it is the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame announcements as well. And for those who follow baseball fairly closely and love the sport within itself, some big names heading to the Baseball Hall of Fame here in July for 2018. Four new members going to be making their way to Cooperstown, New York in mid-July to join the Eternal Great Ones in the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame. They do include Chipper Jones, Jim Thome, Vladimir Guerrero, and also Trevor Hoffman as well. Starting, we'll just go right down the list here as we get started here with Coach's Corner tonight here on AM 1390. First year ballot Hall of Fame eligible Chipper Jones and Jim Thome are into the Baseball Hall of Fame. Chipper Jones was a third baseman for the Atlanta Braves. He was an eight-time All-Star third baseman for the Atlanta Braves during their really good years as well from the late 90s. From the 90s all the way to about the mid-2000s, they were a lethal team in that National League East Division and also making a lot of postseason runs and division titles and also a few World Series in the time of Chipper Jones, along with that elite pitching staff with Tom Glavine, John Smoltz, even Greg Maddux, and not to mention as well the manager Bobby Cox constructing that entire lineup as well, with Chipper Jones in the middle of the action as well. But Jones, in his first year of eligibility, he is joining the Immortals as well. Switch hitter as well for Chipper Jones, a really nice career that he played 19 seasons all with the Atlanta Braves as well. Eight-time All-Star third baseman along with a switch hitting third baseman. You don't really see that a whole lot much anymore of a switch hitter of his caliber. Did some wonderful things in his time in Atlanta. Well, also the other first ballot Hall of Famer, Jim Thome, a wonderful job in his career. 612 career home runs over the span of 20 plus years in uniform with the Cleveland Indians. He played with the Philadelphia Phillies, also the Chicago White Sox, and even the Los Angeles Dodgers for a spell, Minnesota Twins, before rounding off his career with the Baltimore Orioles as well. Jim Thome, 612 home runs, putting him eighth on the career list and playing mostly for the Cleveland Indians. Then a man who can terrorize you at the plate and in the field as well, Vladimir Guerrero, joining in his second year of eligibility on the Hall of Fame list. Nine-time All-Star, played half of his career with the Montreal Expos, had a wonderful bat. He could hit literally just about anything and also could do it from the field as well. A cannon in right arm, got the job done, and now joins Cooperstown. Now the real question is going to be if he will be joining as a Montreal Expos baseball or not, I certainly could see Vladimir Guerrero going in as a Montreal Expo. I mean, they had Tim Raines go in the Hall of Fame as an Expo as well. That doesn't happen very much anymore, since the Montreal Expos are technically now the Washington Nationals as well, from the franchise moving from Montreal to Washington. But Vladimir Guerrero going to be going in as a Hall of Famer, 9-time All-Star from the Dominican Republic as well. And also the final man to join out the class of 2018 for the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame. It's Trevor Hoffman, chosen in his third year. A couple of the first 2 years, thought he was very close to getting in. 601 career saves in his time, which he retired. He had the most career saves at that point in time, and then he ended up taking second behind the greatest closer of all time in the New York Yankees, Mariano Rivera. But Trevor Hoffman, known for that lethal changeup of his, that pitch devastated a lot of opponents in his time with the San Diego Padres, and also a handful of years with the Milwaukee Brewers as well. Trevor Hoffman going into his third year of eligibility, the former San Diego Padre closer, 601 career Hall of saves, I should say, and also going in as a, could potentially go in as a San Diego Padre, the way things are going to match up in that respect for them. Congratulations, though. Although maybe one snub that was very close to getting in, it was the designated hitter Ian Edgar Martinez, very close to getting himself in this year, just fell about 19 votes short of the 75% vote that you need to get into the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame. He's right there. I think Edgar Martinez, very close. He could get in next year, become the first designated hitter to be entered in the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame as well. Now, as we make our way here into Coach's Corner as well, got another great show lined up for you. Talked about a little bit earlier some of the guests that we're going to be talking about with Old Hammer Mono Rutland basketball assistant coach Danny Frisbee Griffin coming up later tonight. We'll also be talking about the matchups for the Super Bowl, and also looking back at the championship games as well. But our first guest joining us in studio, Madison Bulldogs boys basketball coach Mike Rickey. And Coach, thank you so much for coming on again this week.
You bet. No problem. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, Coach. I'm sure a little bit road weary from the travel from last night, and coming back in today as well with that win last night, an overtime win for your team by the score of 72-70 in that overtime win against Chamberlain as well, making the trip down, then coming back for school the next day as well. You know, I'm sure coming back from that deficit, there were a few things that looking at adjustment wise for your team. You know, first off, just kind of give us your overall thoughts from that performance from your team last night.
Well, I've said it several times today. It was a really bad game on our part, but it was a great win. You know, we didn't play our best basketball by any stretch of the imagination, and you know, we can make all the excuses in the world about coming off the tough schedule from last week against Dells and Sioux Falls Christian on Thursday, Friday, Sisseton on Tuesday. But, you know, we weren't ready to play. You know, part of that's on us, our coaching staff, myself, right there at the top of that list. But the players are taking a little ownership of that as well. We came out a little lethargic, and Chamberlain had a great game plan against us. And, you know, I think it was one of those games where we thought we could just kind of, you know, put on the gas whenever we wanted to, and then all of a sudden it was like, oh, we're not, the gas isn't quite going in like we thought it was going to, and Chamberlain kept playing well, but you know, we were down 12 with right around 4 minutes to play, and you know, we had no business winning that game, but our kids did a great job of really selling out and getting us to overtime.
Yeah, and it certainly showed going from the first half, you're down by three, heading into the locker room. Then you come right out of the locker room, get that first lead of the game, and then just kind of go back and forth. And then eventually Chamberlain takes that 12-point lead early into that fourth quarter. You know, what were some of the adjustments that your team had to go from that first half into that second half for your team?
Well, you know, Chamberlain had a great game plan for us. Obviously, anybody who's watched us play knows we want to play fast. And you know, we were playing fast, and then they were doing just the opposite. They were being very deliberate offensively and taking the ball down to, you know, 10 seconds before they were even really looking for a shot, and just really kept us out of our rhythm. So we would have a, you know, a 10-second possession, and then they would have a 35-second possession, and it just really kept us out of rhythm. And there finally towards the end, we picked up some pressure on them full court, and maybe probably as a, you know, looking back hindsight, we probably waited too long to do that. But the kids, you know, really picked up the pressure, and we made them play faster than they wanted to play. And then we hit a couple of shots, and you need to hit shots in those runs. And, you know, Josh hit a big three-pointer for us. We had a couple other kids who hit some big shots for us, and we got it to overtime. And then in overtime, we kind of had the upper hand on them, even though we couldn't pull away. You know, we got it to six a couple of times, and then just still had some mental lapses and allowed them to stay in it the whole way right up till the end of the game. And it was a gutsy win by our kids, but something certainly we don't want to see happen very often.
And also, you know, you look back at that game as a whole, there's a lot of things that you can take away from that, improvements and things to look in the next matchup coming up as well on Saturday. But I'm sure less than 24 hours from that win for your team, you know, some of those immediate things that your team's been working on here, you know, in the short practice that you had today.
Yeah, you know, today we just did a little bit more shooting. You know, we talked about the game, and, you know, the biggest statistic, you know, all our statistics were really good. You know, we shot almost 50% from the field. Our free throw percentage was in the 80s. You know, we out rebounded them, but we had 21 turnovers. And, you know, anytime you have 21 turnovers, you're going to be in a dogfight. And to overcome that says a lot about our team. So we did address those things, and we will continue to address them as the year goes on. And like you said, it's a game that we can draw from both the good and the bad. You know, we did a lot of bad things in the game, but we also did some really good things that we can draw on in games coming up, because we, you know, our schedule doesn't get much easier as we go on.
And also talking about that schedule as well, Coach, you know, last week falling Thursday, or on Friday, I should say, but also winning on Thursday, a tough one against Dell Rapids at their place, and also a first loss of the year to a very good Sioux Falls Christian team, couple familiar opponents for yourself, the players as well, knowing those teams fairly well, you know, in those two games, very similar but very different games at the same time, a win against Dell Rapids, also a loss to Sioux Falls Christian, you know, just the way the schedule kind of ended up that late last week could have possibly, you know, led to that, like you had mentioned, that lethargic start against Chamberlain. You know, just late last week, I'm sure there was a couple of dogfights in those two games against Dell Rapids and Sioux Falls Christian.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, those are two big games for us on back-to-back nights, and it's good for you. You know, you're going to play two good teams like that when you get to the state tournament on back-to-back nights, so it's good to see how you're going to react when you're tired and when your legs are gone. And I thought we put a good game together against Dell Rapids, and Dell Rapids always plays really well at their place, and they gave us everything we wanted, and I thought we played really well down the stretch. We lost Aaron there for a little while. He wasn't feeling the best, so he didn't play any of the second quarter, and we were able to actually distance ourselves for a while in the second quarter, and then they made a run right at the end to get it close again, and then they had the lead for a lot of the second half. And, you know, we didn't always play our best, but those last 3 minutes of the game we played pretty darn well, and we're making our free throws to put those games away, which is extremely important as well. But then the next night we come right back against the Sioux Falls Christian team that hits 9 three-pointers in the first half. You know, and 9 three-pointers in a game is an amazing statistic, and they did that in the first half, but we're only down 2, so we really felt good about where we were at going into halftime. And then we came out and kind of changed how we were guarding them and spent, you know, maybe stayed a little closer to their shooters, and then they took the ball to the basket and were finishing at the rim and got to the free throw line a little bit more. They're well coached, and they adjusted to our adjustments, and I think the biggest difference in that game on that night is the fact that they had the depth that we didn't on that night, and their depth played pretty well. I think they had 15 points off of their bench, and I think we had 2, and that's a big difference in the game when you consider it ended up to be a 12-point game, but it was a 2-point game with about 3 minutes to go, and they did what they needed to do to put it away. But, you know, it's a good experience for us, and one that we'll look back on, and hopefully we get an opportunity to play in a state tournament and know, okay, hey, it's the fourth quarter of our second night in a row of a tough game. You know, we need to change up what we're doing and make some adjustments to get our kids some rest. So it's a loss, but it's certainly not something that's a game changer for us as far as the season is concerned.
And Coach, also, you know, you had mentioned too, you know, the play of Sioux Falls Christian's bench in that loss for your team late last Friday. And that's also one thing I wanted to address as well. You know, this season, you know, you're seeing a little bit more, not so much lack of depth, but you're working in some younger players to fill in some of those spots in previous years where the bench was just as deep as the starters out on the floor. You know, one player comes immediately to mind that, you know, has picked things up as of late, Doyle Brown coming off the bench for your team. You know, as the season kind of goes on with your record as it stands at 12-1, you know, it was some of those other players are going to have to step up as well coming on the bench, especially through this midpoint of the season.
Yeah, you know, and we were experimenting with a lot of different guys coming off the bench, and that's what you need to do in the regular season and figure out which kids can handle the pressure of a varsity game and handle the physicality of a varsity game, because it's different. It's, you know, people might not be able to see it, you know, watching from the crowd, the difference between a JV game and a varsity game, but the speed of the varsity game is so much more advanced than it is at the JV level, and the physicality is way hard and more difficult in a varsity game, and some kids are ready for that as sophomores and some kids aren't, and you know, some juniors can handle the speed of the game and some can't, and you know, you're trying to experiment, and you know, it's probably one of the hardest things we do as a coach is to figure out what that right mix is. Doyle has without a doubt been our best player off the bench. He does just so many good things, but he's not, you know, he has off nights too, you know, and there's nights where he's not able to bring it like he is on other nights. You know, his game against Sisseton and then followed it up with the game against Del Rapids were just phenomenal games on his part, and then against Sioux Falls Christian the shots just weren't falling for him, and he got a little frustrated, and you know, that's where we needed somebody else to step up, and you know, and we're still looking for that, and you know, that's what, like you said, that's why you have these regular season games, is to try and figure those things out so that by the time you get to the postseason, hopefully you have a good formula that you can use for any opponent that you face.
And also, you know, getting that experience on the floor is really going to pay dividends, especially with the amount of seniors that will be graduating after the season. Both Yonkeys, also Josh Giles, you even have Aaron Fegan as well, going to be moving on to bigger and better things. Even Caden Hunsley as well, he's going to be graduating as well. You know, that experience out on the floor, you know, with these games coming up for your team is certainly going to be laying the groundwork for the future.
You know, and as a coach, you hate to ever admit that. You know, that you're looking ahead to the future years, you know, because you are focused on this season, you're focused on the next game, and you are, but in the back of your mind, you're trying to lay that groundwork, like you said, for future years, and some of those things do factor into the decisions you make, but ultimately you're trying to put the best product out there on the floor that's going to give you the best chance to have success, and you know, we're still working at that to try and find the perfect balance, and you know, how many minutes kids should be playing and how many minutes of rest they need, and you know, ultimately when it comes down to it, they're 16, 17, and 18-year-olds, and they have a lot of stamina, and when you need to, they can play some minutes for you, but it's not necessarily what's always best for us.
And again, for all those tuning into Coach's Corner tonight, Coach Mike Rickey from the Madison Bulldog boys basketball team joining us here in studio. Now, Coach, as a next a couple of matchups here, and you'll play Sisseton again for the second time in just over a week, while also some more tough matchups here in the next couple of weeks with the regular season coming to an end in mid-February already. You got Vermilion back on February 12th, and also Dakota Valley to kind of wrap up the regular season. Also taking on Western Christian of Iowa at the Pentagon next Saturday as well. You know, just starting first with that matchup against Sisseton, you know, you face the second team, the second time this month as well to Sisseton, where you came out with a win 82-57, but as you know, it's always tough to beat a team twice in one season, and you know, just looking at the rest of the matchups, starting first with that matchup against Sisseton, you know, some things that you took away from that win that can be translated in that game coming on Saturday.
Well, we played really well against Sisseton, you know, we really did. It was probably our best complete game of the year. You know, we had good bench play, our starters played well, we shot the ball, was our, I think, our best overall percentage for the year, and it's always easy to win when you're playing well, and you know, and I think last night was probably a good eye opener for our kids that you got to be ready to play every night, you know, and if we show up on Saturday and think, oh, we beat them by 27, all we really got to do is just show up. Sisseton is a good team. They got two losses on the year, and they have some tough competition, and one of those losses was to us in a game where we played really well, and I know their coach, he does a good job with them, Jared does does a great job with them up there. He's going to have them ready to play, and they're going to have some adjustments. They're big. They got size. They're the one team that probably has more size than us at a couple of positions. They have a couple of 6'8 kids that they put out there at the same time, and that makes it difficult for us to guard them. And they'll be ready to play, and they'll want a little bit of revenge because, quite frankly, we really took it to them. You know, we played really well, and, you know, we had it at 28 there for a while, and they're going to want to be able to prove themselves as a team that can contend, and that's where we're at too. You know, we want to be a team that we know can you know, win those games when they count. So we can't take any games off. And, you know, and the other games you mentioned, Western Christian the following week, Lennox the following week. Lennox is always a rivalry game. But that Western Christian team, you know, they're undefeated in Iowa. They play a tough schedule. They just beat T. So it doesn't get any easier for us. And then, as you mentioned, you know, you got Canton, Dakota Valley, Vermilion, Milbank, all those teams in there, and they're all in the same boat we are. Everybody's at a different level, but everybody's ultimately trying to position themselves for the postseason and try and be playing their best basketball at the postseason. So you're not going to go out there and have any easy wins at this time of the year. You're going to have to be ready each night out and be ready to bring it every time that ball's thrown up. You got to be ready to play.
Coach, also final as we start to, you know, wind things down here. You know, the last few games, I'm sure there have been the last few games, especially with that loss or that win, I should say, against Chamberlain last night. You know, I'm sure at this point in the season, really tough matchups, and especially maybe even a little bit of some fatigue kind of starting to set in as well with your team. But I'm sure with the amount of experience that your players have seen out on the court last couple years, I'm sure that's just one thing that is in the mind, but not exactly playing a factor as the season starts to wind down.
It really is, you know, and that's where, as a coach, you're trying to balance, you know, how hard you're going to work them in practice. You know, you there's a difference between conditioning and fatigue, and trying to figure out where that line is, you know, between making sure they're conditioned to play 32 minutes and making sure they're not fatigued. And, you know, I haven't figured it out yet as far as what the best case is. You know, I'm a big believer in we work hard in practice, but at the same time, you got to allow kids for their bodies to heal, and because they're not going to do it on their own. You know, they're going to do whatever you ask them to do, and so it's a real balancing act, and, you know, and there's no perfect formula for it, but, you know, you just got to try and, you know, more of a feel thing than anything, just trying to feel it out and making sure that you communicate with your players and make sure that they're getting any kind of treatments, because this is the time of the year where if you get a little injury, it lingers. You know, and early in the year when you're fresh, your body responds quickly, but when you start to get to this point in the year and your body is fatigued, you know, you don't come back from those injuries as quickly. So just balancing that rest and still working them hard and getting them prepared is what we're looking at now.
Coach, as always, thank you so much for coming in studio. Best of luck to you on Saturday, and also we'll have more basketball here on the radio in the next couple of weeks and into the postseason as well.
All right. Thanks for having me, Paul.
Absolutely. Head coach for the Madison Bulldog boys basketball team, Mike Rickey, joining us in studio. Boys are on the road, or not on the road. They're going to be at home on Saturday against Sisseton in the DAC-12 NEC Conference Clash from the Madison High School Gym. 5 p.m. tip-off at the Madison High School Gym, the main gym as well. We'll have that game for you right here on AM 1390 and available online with the video live stream at AmazingMadison.com. Again, 5 p.m. tip-off this Saturday, Madison versus Sisseton for the second time this season as well. It is 6:23, currently our time. Coming up, we'll take a look at the NFL playoffs and also get you set up for the Super Bowl next Sunday. That game will be taking place. We'll take a quick break. More Coach's Corner is coming up on Dakota's Best Classic Hits, KJAM.